So, you have text number five there. What happened to the other ones? What happened to two and three? Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Got it. All right, text number five, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, chapter 14. You could have set it up over there. Let's see. Fancy device. Wow, I am impressed. He always has the best devices. Anyway, 6th Canto, chapter 14, text number five. Muktanam api sedanahu Narayana parayanaha Sudurlabha prashantatma Kodishvapi mahamune. Muktanam, of those who are liberated during this life, who are unattached to the bodily comforts of society, friendship, and love. Api, even, siddhanam, who are perfect. Because they understand the insignificance of bodily comforts. Narayana Parayanaha. A person that has concluded that Narayana is the supreme. Sudurlabha. Very rarely found. Bhashanta, fully pacified. Atma, whose mind? Kotishu, out of millions and trillions. Api, even. Mahamune. O great sage, translation, O great sage, among many millions who are liberated, and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana or Krishna. Such devotees, who are fully peaceful, are extremely rare. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following purport to this verse. Simply desiring mukti or liberation is insufficient. One must become factually liberated. When one understands the futility of the materialistic way of life, one becomes advanced in knowledge. And therefore, he situates himself in the vanaprastha order, unattached to family, wife, and children. One should then further progress to the platform of sannyas, the actual renounced order, never to fall again and be afflicted by the materialistic life. Even though one desires to be liberated, this does not mean he is liberated. Only rarely is someone liberated indeed. Although many men take sannyas to become liberated because of their imperfections, they again become attached to women, material activities, social welfare, work, and so on. Gyanis, yogis, and karmis, devoid of devotional service, are called offenders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Maya Bhadi Krishna Aparadi. One who thinks that everything is Maya instead of thinking that everything is Krishna is called aparadi, or offender. Although the Mayavadis, impersonalists, are offenders at the lotus feet of Krishna, they may nonetheless be counted among the siddhas, those who have realized the self. They may be considered nearer to spiritual perfection because at least they have realized what spiritual life is. Hare Krishna. If such a person becomes Narayana Parayana, a devotee of Lord Narayan, he is better than a Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated or perfect. This requires higher intelligence. There are two kinds of jnanis. One is inclined to devotional service and the other to impersonal realization. Impersonalists generally undergo great endeavor for no tangible benefit, and therefore it is said that they are husking paddy that has no grain. Stula, tushva, gat, tinaha. The other class of jnanis, whose jnana is mixed with bhakti, are also of two kinds. Those who are devoted to the so-called false form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and those who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Satchidananda Vigraha, the actual spiritual form. The Mayavadi devotees worship Narayan or Vishnu with the idea that Vishnu has accepted a form of Maya and that the ultimate truth is actually impersonal. The pure devotee, however, never thinks that Vishnu has accepted a body of Maya. Instead, he knows perfectly well that the original absolute truth is the Supreme Person. Such a devotee is actually situated in knowledge. He never merges in the Brahman effulgence, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 32. Yay, nay, ravandaksha, vimuktamanina, twayasta, bavada, vashuda, buddhiyaha, runyakushena, param, padam, tata, patanjadona, drita, yushmadangrayaha. O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but who have no devotion is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation by dint of severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into material existence, for they do not take shelter at your lotus feet. Evidence of this same point is also given in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 11, wherein the Lord says, Avashananti mamudha manushim tanama shatam parambhavam ajanato mamabhuta Maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. When rascals, mudhas, see that Krishna acts exactly like a human being, they deride the transcendental form of the Lord because they do not know the param bhavam, his transcendental form and activities. Such persons are further described in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 12, as follows. Mogasya moga karmano moga jnana vichestasaha rakshasim asurim choiva prakritim moginim shritaha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Such persons do not know that Krishna's body is not material. There is no distinction between Krishna's body and his soul, but because less intelligent men see Krishna as a human being, they deride him. They cannot imagine how a person like Krishna could be the origin of everything. Govindam adipurusham tamaham jami. Such persons are described as moga shaha, baffled in their hopes. Whatever they desire for the future will be baffled. Even if they apparently engage in devotional service, they are described as mogashaha because they ultimately desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence. Those who aspire to be elevated to the heavenly planets by devotional service will also be frustrated because this is not the result of devotional service. However, they are also given a chance to engage in devotional service and be purified, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, text 17. Srinvatam swakata krishnaha punya shavana kirtanaha vidyantoksto yavadrani vidunoti suritsitam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Unless the dirt within the core of one's heart is cleansed away, one cannot become a pure devotee. Therefore, the word sudur lavaha, very rarely found, is used in this verse. Not only among hundreds and thousands, but among millions of perfectly liberated souls, a pure devotee is hardly ever found. Therefore, the words kotishvapi are used herein. Srila Madhvacharya gives the following quotations from the Tantra Bhagavataha. Navakotyas duvevanam rishiyak saptakotayaha narayanaha sarve ye kitchit tat parayanaha. There are 90 million demigods and 70 million sages who are all called Narayana Yana, devotees of Lord Narayan. Among them, only a few are called Narayana Parayana. Interesting. Narayana Yana Deva, Rishyadhyastat Parayanaha, Vamadhyā Ke Chunoiva Shu. Siddha Yogya Shukam Laban. The difference between the Siddhas and Narayana Parayanas is that direct devotees are called Narayana Parayanas, whereas those who perform various types of mystic yoga are called Siddhas. You know, a lot of information here. So, going back to the verse, Muktanam Api Siddhanam Narayana Parayanaha Siddhar Laba Prashantatma Kotishvapi Maha Mune. Here Prabhupada is just doing what we call in French a tour de force. That means a complete tour of everything from impersonalists, materialists, Mayavadis, Brahmavadis, materialistic devotees, and pure devotees, or those who accept pure devotional service. I mean, it's like everything is there in this particular verse. And purport. So, let's start at the bottom. Bottom means materialistic people. Of course, the different varieties of non-devotees are described by Krishna in the Gita with this famous verse, Namam Duskritina Muda. Does anyone know the rest of that? Anyone? Asuram Bhavamashrita. Yes. Krishna says there's four types of people who are don't come to me. And it's interesting, these four classes. Namam Duskritina Muda. Of course, Prabhupada here talks about mudas. Muda is actually an insult in India. If you call someone a mudha, they get very angry. Don't do it. There's two words in India that'll probably get you killed. Mudha and rascal. When I first went to India, I thought, you know, the word rascal in English, you know, Western English, is just like a cute word. Like you say about someone's child, he's a rascal. Krishna was a rascal and stuff like that. Well, in India, it gets you killed. And mudha also gets you killed, too. So don't do it. So, but Krishna says, you know, moga shamoga, karmano, moga jnana vichesta saha. So the mudhas are just like foolish people. You know, one description of mudha is those who are just like interested in making money, enjoying life, getting drunk on the weekends. Like we were describing yesterday, having a toast. I'm not going to tell you the scenario that I was talking about. Anyway, I'm not going to get in trouble if I start talking about this. But anyway, so certain countries, like having a toast, is actually considered part of the national anthem. Anyway, so, you know, cheers. Anyway, I think some of you understand what I'm talking about. So, that's mudha. Just being interested, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And mudha, pravajante naradama. Naradama is also a very interesting category. It basically means, it says lowest of mankind. It means ones who people basically don't have the faculties to understand Krishna consciousness. That means either you're too dumb or, anyway, you know, just like there's 400,000 human races, isn't it? And amongst them, some of them really can't understand Krishna consciousness. I mean, for example, if you go to a monkey, it's very hard for them to understand Krishna consciousness. Anyway, I don't want to be a racist. So anyway, sometimes you get people who are basically, like, I mean, for example, here in Europe, you have these Neanderthals. You heard of them before? You know what I'm talking about. It's very hard for me to understand how they'd be able to read Bhagavad Gita and chant Hare Krishna and devote themselves to Krishna. Although, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, as described in the discussion with Haridas Thakur and the Harinam Chintamani, the loud chanting of Hare Krishna is capable of liberating them. So, even these Naradama. So, Maya Pratigyana. So the next one is those whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. You know, the overly, like Prabhupada said, overly intelligent people. And then Asuram Bhava Mashrita. Those who are completely dedicated to opposing God. And you see people like that. I mean, there's one, I guess I'll mention names, get myself in trouble. There's one famous atheist, his name is Richard Dawkins. You heard of him before? And he basically, his whole life is dedicated to God in a negative way. I mean, he's like probably millions of times more God conscious than me. Because every day, you know, he wakes up in the morning thinking about how he hates God, goes to sleep thinking about how he hates God. I just don't have that sort of focus in my own life. He's like Kamsa. Isn't it? Exactly like Kamsa. And he comes to just thinking how he can kill God. You know, he's sending one demon after another, Putana and all these other Trinavarta to kill Krishna. And this particular individual is just like, of course he can't conjure up demons. So he's conjuring up illogical arguments, which are more or less demons. Actually, one interesting thing about this individual, he has absolutely no training in philosophy. He has a lot of training in science, but he's absolutely no training in philosophy. So most of what he comes out with are non sequiturs, which means doesn't follow, not logical, you know, things that don't follow from one to the other. So anyway, so these are the types of people who don't approach Krishna. However, there's another type of person who is innocent, but also is meditating on the impersonal Brahman. That's cool. What we call a Brahma Vadi. Jai Shishi Panchatattva Shishi Gornatai Ki Jai. So a Brahma Vadi is someone who's meditating on Brahman, but it's not the same as a Mayavadi, someone who considers the Lord and everything to be illusion. It's a little bit different. And I'll tell you, and that person is innocent. That person we can approach. Because as aspiring second-class devotees, we're not really supposed to approach people who are just born-again Mayavadis. You know, like, what, Prakasananda Saraswati. I mean, sorry. Yeah, Prakasananda Saraswati. The Mayavadi who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached. So, we're supposed to avoid people who are envious and approach the innocent. So I'm going to tell you an interesting story from Bhaktivinoda Thakura's work, Jiva Dharma, how there was an innocent Brahmavadi. He turned into be a great devotee with the right association. So here's the story. Once upon a time, there was this Brahmavadi. He was a sannyasi, actually. And he was on the Paramahansa sannyas platform. Don't ask me what that is. My Brahmavadi Paramahamsa Sannyas. In other words, he had completely given up all attachment to everything in this world, like Prabhupada is describing here, home and wife and children and all those other things. Don't get upset, ladies. So he was, because I'll give a kinder, gentler explanation of that at the end of class. So anyway, so he was completely detached from all these things, and he was sitting in Benares on the banks of the Ganges, meditating on Brahman. And he was experiencing, I wouldn't say Ananda, but he was experiencing relief. Because when you become detached from this world, there's a relief. It's a relief from the threefold miseries. You actually see the threefold miseries as certainly pertaining or only pertaining to the body and not pertaining to the soul. So it becomes like it's ecstatic. Wow, what a relief. It's like Lord Chaitanya described a particular punishment that they used to have, I think here in Europe, but also in America, when if they had a criminal or someone had done something bad, they would put him into the water until he almost died. They would hold him underwater. You had that punishment here? Yeah. We used to do this in the Hare Krishna movement too. Yes, a basket. I remember doing that. So, no, I'm just joking. Until they agreed to surrender and chant Hare Krishna. So, you'd put him under the water in like, you know, 3 minutes. I guess that's about max, 3 or 4 minutes for most people. And you bring him up. And it was a relief when he could breathe again. He felt, wow, this is ecstasy. Just like if you've been fasting on Janmashtami till midnight. I remember we were fasting. It was in New Vrindavan, 1972 or 73, and Prabhupada was there. And Prabhupada wouldn't let us break the fast. Cruel and unusual punishment. Because he was making us listen to the Krishna book, punishing us by making us listen to the Krishna book. And it was midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And Prabhupada was just becoming more and more blissful. He just said, it's not like, he said, can you read another chapter? And we were praying, Prabhupada, it's time to break the fast. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. No, we didn't say that to Prabhupada. But we went, oh, my dear Lord Krishna, let Prabhupada realize it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Like we were wanted a pure devotee to realize something. Anyway, so the devotees kept reading to Prabhupada. And finally at about, I think it was about 2:30, Prabhupada said, he looked around and he says, all right, we can take prasadam or something like that. And everybody let out the biggest jai you've ever heard in your life. You know, jai, Prabhupada, all glories to Prabhupada! You know, it was pretty nice. And then the devotees just like dove into the prasadam. Oh, one thing about the prasadam, that story, this is a prasadam story too, that originally the devotees had started to prepare the Kadashi prasadam on Janmashtami. This is also controversial. And when Prabhupada heard that, he said, no, full feast. So the devotees had to go back and start cooking at about 9 o'clock at night because they had only made like, in those days we didn't have quinoa, but only made potatoes. Potatoes and milk or something like that for breaking the fast. And Prabhupada said, full feast. And so anyway, so it was a big relief when we all got to eat at 2:30 in the morning. It's just like, wow, this is ecstasy. So, you know, because we were relieved of our pain, our stomachs were talking, you know, Prabhupada was reading or having the Krishna book read, you could hear all the stomachs growling. You know, all over the place. So it's like a relief when the distress is finished. And actually, that's even material happiness. Material happiness is basically you got some distress and it gets relieved and you feel great. So the Mayavadi or Brahmavadi realization is like that. So this Brahmavadi, he was experiencing happiness. He was absorbed in Brahman. However, at that point, a devotee doing Harinam came by, chanting the holy name. Somehow or other, there was a devotee in Benares. Benares is actually a place of Mayavadis and Brahmavadis. And this devotee, this Brahmavadi, he heard the holy names, and he felt so much ecstasy, and he thought, wow, what's happening? In other words, he got the Bhakti Lata Bija. He said, what's happening? I've never experienced this before in Brahman. And he was basically too shy to talk to the devotee. But because he had gotten that Bhakti Lata Bija in his heart, he headed, very short time after that, to Mayapur. And then he began to associate with some great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And eventually took initiation. And he became known as Vaishnava Das. You know the story? And it was so nice because he was previously such a great Brahmavadi that he knew all the Vedic literatures backwards and forwards. So the Vaishnavas enlisted him in defeating all the rascals. So even if you know Mayavadi or Brahmavadi philosophy, you know, you can utilize that in Krishna service. But don't do it now. You don't have to go study it now. So you can utilize it in Krishna service. So there's an example of someone who was innocent. And because he was innocent, he actually was able to take devotional service very easily. So that's a unique example. So that's Brahmavadi, not Mayavadi. And then apart from that, Prabhupada here is talking about materialistic people, materialistic devotees, who worship Krishna for some ulterior purpose, for some personal purpose. Like, of course, that's described in Bhagavatam, akama, sarvakama, moksha kama, daradi, tivrena, bhakti, yogena, yajeta, purusham, puram. And also Krishna describes that in the famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Chatur vidha bhujanti mam. He says, four types of people who approach me. Those who are looking for wealth, those who are inquisitive, those who are looking for knowledge, and those who are in distress. Four types of people. And these are all types of people who have some motivation, obviously. If they didn't have a motivation, they'd be devotees already. In other words, they wanted something from devotional service. I mean, all of us. We came to devotional service because, for one reason or other, right? We were looking for knowledge. I mean, personally, I was looking for knowledge. That's why I was studying at the university before, and I was sorely disappointed by not getting that knowledge. And other people, they were just looking for something good to eat. Prasadam. And other people, they're in distress. Actually, preaching to people who are in distress is very fruitful. Many other religions, they have programs to go to the hospitals and talk to people who are sick in the hospital. And guess what? When you go to the hospital and you take care of people, they never forget you. Really interesting phenomena. And I've seen that with devotees. Of course, sometimes devotees are so detached that if someone goes to the hospital, they never visit them. They just say, that's Krishna, or that's their karma. They're getting purified. Isn't it? They're in the hospital because they're getting purified. So, I mean, we have to have a little compassion. So that time, when people are in distress, they're very vulnerable. So it's a good time to actually approach people with Krishna consciousness. And actually, I've lost some disciples because when they were in the hospital, devotees didn't go to see them, and some Christians or other religious groups went to see them. So that's an important time, you know. People in distress, people in knowledge, people inquisitive, etc. Just like, I'll give you a funny story, or people want wealth. I forgot about that one. That's a big one. I'll tell you a funny story about a friend I have. And my friend, he used to live in India, and he really wanted money. Money, money, money. His mantra was money, money, money. So, I would go to visit him. He lived in Delhi. Delhi, of course, is the capital of India. So I would go to visit him, and the reason I knew him, he was a relative of some of my disciples in New Zealand. So I went and I stayed in his house, and I basically talked to him about Govardhan. And he said, Govardhan, Desire trees. Desire trees. Anything you want. You just like go to the desire tree and ask for it. It's like telling someone about where Aladdin's lamp is. You know Aladdin's lamp? You rub it and a genie comes out. Your wish is my desire, O Master. It works. It actually works like that, the desire trees. Anyway, so then he said, take me around Govardhan. I said, sure, come. So the whole time around Govardhan, he was chanting, sure. He was just praying, Hare Krishna. But he was thinking, money, money, money. Money, 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 money. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, at the same time. And when I got a little tired, you know, because you can't go around 100 times a day, but he was basically ready to go around 100 times a day because of his enthusiasm. And I would say, you know, I'll have to leave here, go back home, you know, back to the place I'm staying. And rest, he said, no, I want to continue going around, Maharaj. And he went around and around. I said, what are you praying for today? He said, I'm praying so I can migrate to New Zealand. So he, you know who I'm talking about? You didn't meet him. Anyways, related to Krishna Chandra's wife. Yeah, you never met him. His name is Prabal. He's still not initiated. Because so he, basically, if he makes millions of euros or dollars, then he'll take initiation. So anyways, reverse Dakshin. You know, I have to arrange, you know, because he always comes to me and says, arrange with Krishna for money for me. I said, yes, yes, yes. Bless me. Okay, bless you. So he takes up devotional service, starts chanting, and one day he will actually realize that his desires are all nonsense. It will happen. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was worshipping Vishnu simply for even something more than my friend in Delhi wanted. My friend in Delhi just wanted money, but Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. Whew! That's sarva kama, all material desires. But when he saw Krishna, he said, I was looking for some pieces of broken glass, and I have found a beautiful diamond or a jewel. So the point I'm making is when we're preaching Krishna consciousness, it's not that we have to hammer people with the concept of becoming a pure devotee. I mean, we mention it, obviously. But we engage people according to their psychophysical nature, so they're happy in Krishna consciousness. This is also part of Varnashram. But it's also the spiritual master's duty to engage the disciple according to the psychophysical nature. And basically, it is similar to Varnashram. Just like yesterday, we were taking a tour of the Parliament building here, and there was a description in your ancient history in Slovenia how they had these four classes of people. It was really interesting. There were writers, intellectuals, there were workers, there were administrators, and there were money people. It's interesting. I mean, it was right there on the mural in the in your Parliament building. Anyone seen the mural? Anyway, we took a tour yesterday. It was really interesting. And so this Varnashram is natural. So even amongst devotees, of course, we don't want to designate devotees as, at least the internal devotees, as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. We're all Gopi Padakamala Dasa Dasa Dasanu Das. We need to be engaged according to our psychophysical nature to be happy in Krishna consciousness. So we all need to feel satisfied. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's another work of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he talks about this, how we have material nature, material needs, and that can be engaged and understood to help us be steady in devotional service. for this whole lifetime so we can progress. And Prabhupada also talks about that in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in relationship to the Gajendra Mokshana story. Gajendra is the elephant, and Gajendra is not engaged according to his psychophysical nature because he's in the water. And he's fighting with a big crocodile, and the crocodile is winning. And so Prabhupada takes that as an analogy to our situation in this world. Particularly he talks about there, the ashrams. You know, whether someone is brahmachari or sannyasi or grihastha. So he says that one should be situated properly to be able to fight with maya. Okay, so let's talk about this fighting with maya. Because that sounds a little heavy. Okay, maya. Put up your, as they say in America, put up your dukes. You know, dukes means your fists. I would never try that. It'd be quite dangerous to challenge maya. Because Krishna says, mama maya durachaya. Very difficult to overcome. So what does it mean to fight with maya? Fighting with maya, or let's use another term, overcoming the influence of maya, means to engage maya in Krishna's service. What do I mean by that? That the things you were attached to, like here it's mentioned, how a sannyasi gives up attachment to home and wife and children and all that other stuff. But there's two understandings of the word sannyasi, actually there's more than that. But let's take the literal meaning of the word sannyas, not so much as an ashram. That is, you know, someone who wears saffron. Of course, traditionally in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the sannyasis, they would wear white. Like a gumsha, or what's called, whoops, is that my signal I have to end or something? So that, like a lungi. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, they didn't wear this saffron color. Actually, the saffron color for our Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis was started by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who studied two things. He studied the Ramakrishna mission, a bunch of Mayavadis. Prabhupada called Ramakrishna just like a crazy guy. He did. He didn't. Ramakrishna was, he was so, anyway, Prabhupada said, Ramakrishna, you don't want to say this in India, get killed, another thing. Ramakrishna was so lusty before he got married that he became unable to act in a lusty way after he got married. So then he called his wife mother. She's like the universal mother. He called his wife, you know, Mother Durga, like that common thing. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he studied the Ramakrishna mission, their type of sannyasi, because he wanted to see what worked. This is the original bridge preaching. You understand bridge preaching? Just like sometimes devotees, they'll dress like yogis. I have one disciple's name is Gokul Chandra. I don't know if anyone's ever met him. He's come to Croatia before. And he knows more postures than anybody in the whole world. He does things that are impossible. Literally. You've seen? You can look him up on the internet. And he's making people Krishna conscious. You know, it's like bridge preaching. So he acts like a yogi, but inside he's a bhakta. But he's using all these postures to impress people. And then he says, you want to hear the real thing? And they say, yeah! Beyond the postures is Hare Krishna. So so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made a trick to attract people, because people, the Ramakrishna mission is so popular, dressing in saffron. Also, he studied the Sri Sampradaya, their sannyasis too. So he came up with an amalgamation, you know, combine the two. And, you know, so we have our Tree Danda. The Ramakrishna Mission doesn't have Tree Danda. And anyway, we have a particular style. And some of us wear kurtas. Those of us who want to impress people don't wear kurtas. We just keep a cape around ourselves, you know. So we look real cool. But I don't care about that stuff. So, so he utilized that, something that's Maya, you know, even a Mayavadi dress, the Ramakrishna Mission, to bring people to Krishna God, so people would naturally respect. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyasa, people would naturally respect. So it's a strategy. It's a strategy, you know, like Prabhupada said, in like a pin, out like a plow. You make a strategy. So we have to make a strategy. You know, if we're just attached to dressing in a particular fashion or acting in a particular way in all circumstances, then we may not be so effective. I mean, we have to adjust certain external things. Don't worry, this is not a Krishna West description. Or else I'll get kicked out of the temple here. Nanda will never let me come back. Anyway, so you have to use Maya in Krishna's service. So here I am using Maya, this dress, in Krishna's, and that from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And, you know, and he was expert in using Maya, you know. He was the first sannyasi to basically use a car, at least Vaishnava sannyasi, to use a car. Not only did he use a car, he came to Radhakund in a Rolls Royce. You know what a Rolls Royce is? Very expensive car. My father had a Rolls Royce. And I got in one time and I said, how much petrol does it use? And he says, if you have to ask that question, you don't belong in this car. You know, because the car is so expensive, you don't worry about the petrol. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to Radhakund in a Rolls Royce, and all the Babaji's were going, you know, just bewildered. The Yukta Vairagya. So they're saying, you know, that's Maya, you know, Rolls Royce, anyway. So he's using Maya in Krishna's service. I mean, he was so liberal that he even arranged for the Britishers to have meat when they came to Mayapur. Did you know that? Even someone even said he like rolled cigarettes for people, you know, so they would feel comfortable. So, and Prabhupada, following in that same mood, not that we smoke cigarettes or we don't eat meat, obviously. Prabhupada wanted a smoking room in the Mumbai Hotel, the Bombay Hotel, so people would feel comfortable. Not they'd smoke in the temple, but, you know, the hotel. Just the room, like they have in the airport. Like if you go in the airports around here, there's always this smoking room. I mean, in Frankfurt and in Munich, they have these big, it's called the camel room. Somehow they have a big picture of a camel. Anyone seen that? No. You know, like camel cigarettes or something like that. And the people there go. People are so addicted to stupid things. When I used to travel around Europe in a train years ago, the train would stop for like 2 minutes. And they weren't allowed to smoke on the train. So the person would get out of the train, light a cigarette, and go. Try to get as much nectar as possible. Because then he had to throw it away. Until he got on the train. So anyway, so sometimes you have to use people's attachments and addictions. And you, of course, I don't know how you use cigarettes in Krishna service. But anyway, but you use it in the sense of, you say, all right, do it, you know, whatever. Just don't do it in the temple room. Like Prabhupada had planned. So, because you have to be, we should be merciful. So, to overcome Maya, one has to be ready to employ the principle of Yukta Vairagya. And then you become detached. We mentioned this yesterday. Understanding everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of God. It's meant to be used in His service. And so, Prabhupada was so expert in that. I mean, so much, let's say, absorbed in utility as the principle, that even when one time there was a microphone that kept slipping from the stand, Prabhupada had one of the devotees, I think it was Brahmananda, take off his Brahmin thread and wrap it around the microphone so it would stay on the microphone stand. That utility is the principle. So, therefore, as far as dealing with Maya, like some of the men may think the women are Maya, and the women are, well, they're not thinking the men are Maya, they're thinking eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Anyway, so, as far as dealing with Maya, you should just find out how to use whatever you're attracted to, whatever you like to work with in Krishna service. Just like, for example, my Maya is science. It's a good Maya. No one ever fell down by being engaged in science. Anyway, and yesterday we had these discussions about how connect the latest discoveries in science, like in quantum mechanics, remember, with Krishna consciousness and the material world. And people liked it. So I'm using my Maya, well, illusion, attachments. Let's say attachments. Let's not use the Maya. Sannyasis are not supposed to be a Maya. So using my attachments in Krishna's service. So I don't see anything as Maya anymore. I just see everything as an implement for serving Krishna. Right? Everything I see, I'm seeing as an implement. And certain things, because I have certain skills in certain areas, that's Varnashram, then I see that especially as something that I can use in Krishna's service. And that's Krishna consciousness. And that's how you become liberated. Not simply, like Prabhupada quotes this verse in the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, Yene ravandaksha vimuktamani nas twaya twayastabhavad abshudabhudya ruyakachrena panam patam pata ya patanchito nyusmad angrayaha. And this verse states that someone who is actually simply rejecting this material world and going to Brahman, then ultimately they fall down from that platform and come back to the material activities. And Prabhupada comments, sometimes those material activities are things like opening up hospitals and social welfare activities. So the way to prevent ourselves from falling down, and we all have a particular flavor of Maya that we're attached to, isn't it? Just like there's one famous ice cream chain called Baskin Robbins that says, so many varieties of ice cream. You got vanilla, vanilla fudge. You don't know about these things. What other varieties? Chocolate, chocolate chips. Anyway, so we have varieties of illusion or things in this world we're attached to. So instead of just saying, giving it up and just being disturbed by it and dreaming about it at night, just use it in Krishna's service. It's much more practical, isn't it? So, on that happy note, any questions or comments? Questions, comments? Yes. Gauranga. Okay.
I wish to return back to the moment when Paramahamsa Sannyasi meets Avadhuta devotee.
The devotee. Yeah. He's referring to the Jiva Dharma right now, when the Paramahamsa Sannyasi meets the devotee here. Yeah. And he's
Paramahamsa Sannyasi appears to be prepared for this meeting because he immediately identified that this is superior transcendental experience.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, can we draw from this that we should also be prepared for moments that might come that we will get in contact with some superior devotee who's going to be advanced in spiritual life?
Yeah.
Because I assume that sometimes we a little bit lack a group. Mm-hmm. We have low average in this sense.
Yeah, we don't understand how rare. Probably there's another point in the verse. Prabhupada talks about how rare it is to have a devotee. I mean, Krishna talks about that, you know, Manushishnam Sahasreshu, the verses I quoted yesterday. But it's actually rare to have the association of a sadhu. And we have to be prepared for that and humble enough to accept that association. My first association, which I've mentioned before, my first association with Prabhupada was on the radio. I wasn't prepared, but I somehow or other, I was listening to the radio. I was engaging my Maya, trying to listen to the Beatles or the Rolling Rocks or something. I know Stones. I know the Stones. I was listening to the radio, and all of a sudden I heard Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. And my life changed because of that one time. So we need to be prepared, yeah, to take association. Because association is very rare. It's like it's described, having a Narayana Parayana is very rare. So if we can associate, and particularly Prabhupada's Narayana Parayana, we should take advantage. I mean, every morning, I'd listen to a class of Prabhupada's. Every morning, I'm listening to Prabhupada's class. Of course, whenever I'm somewhere, I do my deity worship, and I have this nice little device that has all the classes of Prabhupada. And I'm taking association with Prabhupada. And I get enlivened. Yeah, so we should be prepared, take every opportunity to take association. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Yeah. And he became a devotee.
He became a great devotee, yeah.
Yeah. Could you tell more about the importance of Harinam Sankirtana and the power of Harinam Sankirtana?
Well, yesterday we were talking about Namabhas chanting. Namabhas chanting means when someone just chants in imitation or basically teasing or even making fun of the devotees. I mean, for example, one time there was a newspaper article and they were criticizing the Hare Krishna movement, but they kept saying, those Hare Krishnas, they're this, there's Hare Krishnas, they're that. And the devotees thought the article was really bad and Prabhupada thought the article was very good. So any contact they have with the holy name, of course, there is a quality of the holy name that we should be manifesting. When we're chanting the holy name, our consciousness determines how much of the potency of the holy name is manifest for the people. I mean, if we're just chanting on the platform of Namabhas, yes, there'll be potency. I mean, we're also following the direction of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and other great devotees and going on Harinam. But there's much more potency when Prabhupada said the holy name should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. So if you are following purely and praying to Krishna and absorbed in the holy names and praying to the holy names, there's more potency in that. In any chanting or religious activity or spiritual activity, if you're aware of what you're doing and you're absorbed in it, there's more potency than when you do it ritualistically. Doing something ritualistically is mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami as Niyam Agraha, which can actually be detrimental or harmful to one's devotional service. So there's a quality with which one should do Harinam. Not just go out and Harinam, but have the quality. Pray to Krishna that somehow or other, just like Prabhupada, you know, he went out on Harinam, Tompkins Square Park. You probably heard about this before. And people were attracted. Just from external viewpoint, an old Bengali man chanting something. And so many people are attracted. And, you know, and I can go out and nobody would be attracted, you know. So there's a difference. So, of course, we can't say that, you know, you should wait until you become pure before you go out and Harinam. We wouldn't have too many Harinam parties then. But the way to become pure is to go on Harinam, but to have the right consciousness, to be praying. If you're connected, we mentioned yesterday that the holy name is not simply a sound that comes from the lips and the tongue. It actually descends. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. So it descends from the right consciousness. We're called the Krishna consciousness movement for a reason. Because we're supposed to be conscious of Krishna. Not simply doing things for Krishna, but conscious of Krishna. Krishna says, for every endeavor and for the result, just be conscious of me. So while you're doing it, just be connected to Krishna. And then the Harinam will have so much potency, the whole world will follow you. Prabhupada said, one pure devotee, this is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, one pure devotee is like the sun of the moon. So we have a choice. We can be like little stars which don't give much illumination. You know that song, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? No one's heard that song? You have that song in Croatian too?
I remember there's a reference in Death Canto in Bhakti in Vrindavan.
Yeah. Small stars.
Comparing to moon.
Yeah.
The moon is beautiful, shining, big, and all the stars that are small,
yeah,
insignificant, false spiritualists, they can just hide in front of the big moon of devotee.
So we should be like that. And we can. If we are devoted to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, and our spiritual master, you know, things equal to the same thing or equal to each other, then we can manifest that particular energy, that Shakti. Kali Kalera Nama Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vananai He Tari Pravartan. That's Bengali. This age, the Dharma is Krishna Nam Sankirtan, but Krishna Shakti, one has to be empowered to do this. And that means living a life that's pure and having the right consciousness. And then, yeah, we can change the whole world. We can change the whole world by the Harinam Party. Same time, I think the Harinam Party, we should present things musically well. You know, if you have a Harinam Party, one person is going, Hare Krishna, and everyone's going, Hare Krishna. I've heard Harinam parties like that before. Yeah, they may be pure, but people are not going to want to sing, sit around and listen to them for very long. So music is actually important. Although Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the temple would have sometimes the worst singer lead the kirtan. But that wasn't for preaching. That was for the devotees. So in the temple we should have the worst singers lead. No, I'm just joking. Because his disciples were primarily sannyasis. And the ones in the temple are all sannyasis, basically, and brahmacharis. So he wanted to free them from attachment to, like, musical sounds. He wanted to get them attached just to the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. So we do have that tendency sometimes to become attached to the sound of the instruments. But the instruments are made to serve, or meant to serve, the mantra. Not that the mantra is meant to serve the instruments. I think we have to end now. 9:17, 9:15, whatever. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.